Good morning. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. 2 Chronicles 18. Now Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, and he allied himself by marriage with Ahab. And some years later he went down to visit Ahab at Samaria, and Ahab slaughtered many sheep and oxen for him and the people who were with him, and induced him to go up against Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me against Ramoth-Gilead?" And he said to him, "I am as you are, and my people as your people, and we will be with you in battle." Moreover, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire first for the word of the Lord." Then the king of Israel assembled the prophets, 400 men, and said to them, "Shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain?" And they said, "Go up, for God will give it into the hand of the king." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?" And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah." But Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Bring quickly Micaiah, Imlah's son." Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, were sitting each on his throne, arrayed in their robes, and they were sitting at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, made horns of iron for himself, and said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Arameans until they are consumed." And all the prophets were prophesying, thus saying, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and succeed, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." Then the messenger who went to summon Micaiah spoke to him, saying, "Behold, the words of the prophets are uniformly favorable to the king. So please let your word be like one of them and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, what my God says, that I will speak." And when he came to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain?" And he said, "Go up and succeed, for they will be given into your hand." Then the king said to him, "How many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" So he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each of them return to his house in peace.'" Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?" And Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab, king of Israel, to go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?' And one said this while another said that. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will entice him.' The Lord said to him, 'How?' And he said, 'I will go and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.' Then he said, 'You are to entice him and prevail also. Go and do so. Now therefore the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouth of these, your prophets, for the Lord has proclaimed disaster against you.' Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, came near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, 'How did the spirit of the Lord pass from me to speak to you?' And Micaiah said, 'Behold, you shall see on that day when you enter an inner room to hide yourself.' Then the king of Israel said, 'Take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. And say, thus says the king, put this man in prison and feed him sparingly with bread and water until I return safely.' And Micaiah said, 'If you indeed return safely, the Lord has not spoken by me.' And he said, 'Listen, all you people.' So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up against Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes.' So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went into battle. Now the king of Aram had commanded the captains of his chariots, saying, 'Do not fight with small or great, but with the king of Israel alone.' So it came about when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, 'It is the king of Israel.' And they turned aside to fight against him. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them from him. Then it happened when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel in a joint of the armor. So he said to the driver of the chariot, 'Turn around and take me out of the fight, for I'm severely wounded.' And the battle raged that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot in front of the Arameans until the evening, and at sunset he died." Amen. This passage may sound very familiar to you because this actually is word for word 1 Kings chapter 22, when we see the kings lay out the history. But we get a little bit more information, well, really, just verse 1, in that before in Kings, it never explained why Jehoshaphat went and helped the king of Israel, who was Ahab. And I mean, we know the story, right? You have this incredibly pious king who's Jehoshaphat, who worships the Lord, and you have probably the most evil of kings in Israel, which is Ahab. And if you don't remember, Ahab's wife is Jezebel, and that now is a name that we use for people. Like, you would call someone a Jezebel now, it's like a bad name because of what she's done and how she lived her life. And so you have that going, and now we realize, oh, it's because Jehoshaphat, in verse 1, had great riches, and he allied himself by marriage with Ahab. So he ends up marrying one of Ahab's daughters. Now, there's nothing in the text that tells us why he did that. I mean, did he need to make an ally with Israel? Obviously not, but something to the effect. And so he marries this woman, and thus this thing goes on. And then, you know, we'll get the rebuke later in the next chapter. And so he goes down to the king of Israel, to Ahab, and in the beginning it's great, has a huge feast. And so if you remember, Ahab had defeated Ben-Hadad, the king of Aramaeans. And so he defeated him, and he was supposed to receive back the towns that were before. Seemingly, it seems like Ramoth-Gilead was not given back. And this is one of the Levitical towns, and so it belongs to Israel, and it's in Israel territory. And so he should have given it back, but for whatever reason, it wasn't given back. And so you could see that Ahab had a lot of desire for this town, but he didn't want to do it himself, especially now that Ben-Hadad's troops, they've regained. Remember that they were defeated so soundly that they didn't rise up at all, but now something is stirring with Ben-Hadad. And so they go out, but the man of God, the king, Jehoshaphat in verse 4 says, well, first, let's inquire of the Lord. I want you to know how important that advice is. Not just here for Jehoshaphat and for Ahab, but for our lives as well. That before we take over any endeavor, we should first hear from the Lord. It is so, so important. I mean, this would really, in many ways, be even life and death. I mean, think about every major decision that we make, we should hear from God. Every medium decision that we make, we should hear from God. Every minor, now, the minor decision, I always say this, like this morning, Lord, should I wear a white shirt? Should I wear a blue shirt? I don't think he really cares that much, okay? And so, we can be practical in this way. We're not, and as funny as that sounds, man, I've met people that are so spiritual that they have to ask God for everything. And I think God's given us a mind. He's given us the scriptures. But, in decisions, obviously, we have a decision of war here. But, your work, who you're going to marry, all these things. I mean, I think you need to hear a word from the Lord. And when I talk to people at church about decisions, the things they make, they give me all their reasons. Okay, that's great. But here's the real question. Have you really heard from the Lord? And they kind of like, eyes big and not really. Well, so then why are you making wedding plans? Then why are you, doing all these things? I mean, shouldn't the first thing be hearing from the Lord? And this is why Jehoshaphat, though he's not perfect, why he's a man of God. It really starts from this thing. I remember in the early days of SP, we're trying to teach, people how to hear from God. And we're trying to teach them to, basically, it's not just about hearing from God, but it's actually living their life in a very different way. And I remember one particular, he's actually one of our house church leaders now, but I remember before when he would make decisions over his work that he would write out this elaborate spreadsheet. And he would write out all the pros and all the cons. And he would deliberate in a very worldly way of doing it. Not a bad way, but a very worldly way of doing it. You know, that's how people in his industry make decisions about, should I go to a new job? And, you know, and he showed me the spreadsheet, you know, like just lists and lists of pros. This is why it's good to stay. This is why it's good to move. This is why it's good to go, you know, or bad to go. And so on and so forth. And then I was like, well, this is great. And I suggested to him, but maybe you should hear from the Lord and pray. And so fast forward, so then, you know, he moved his job. He didn't take my advice, and so he did what he's normally did. But his second time around, because he had such a horrible time at his job, his second time around, he was so humbled, and he came back to me, and, you know, we had lunch. And now it was actually great. It was no longer, spreadsheets were gone, and now it was simply, I need to hear from the Lord. And I looked at him and said, hey, you're growing. You're growing. You're turning into a man of God. Finally. It took a little bit of time, but it's happening. And I think that's really the heart of it. It's not so much an aspect of hearing from God, but it's really going back to who is your source. Is your main source your own intellect? You know, the way you do things? Or is the source of your life God? And if the source of your life is God, then it probably is a good idea to get his opinion on whatever matter that you're dealing with. It could be a relationship matter, a finance matter, a work matter. It could be a family issue. But so important for us is to really hear from the Lord. And that's what he does. He says, you know, everything is great. Yes. Look what he says. Yes. Ramoth Gilead, we should take over because that was given to us by treaty. It's not in our possession. So that's a good idea. But how many of you guys know that you don't want just a good idea? You want the God idea. And he said, so that sounds good. I agree with you, Ahab, but let's inquire of the Lord. Let's please inquire first for the word of the Lord. That sounds a lot like what Jesus' word to us in Matthew chapter 6. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So he does it. So the king assembles the prophets. And so seemingly, I mean, there's a lot that you're not getting from the text, but seemingly these were false prophets. They were known to be false prophets. These were the prophets that actually worshiped the golden calf that was in Israel during this time. And so they're not true prophets. They're not anything near prophets at all. And so they come up, and so he brings these 400 prophets, and he says, should we go in the battle? And says, yes, go, because you'll have victory. And notice Jehoshaphat is not amused by this. And look what he says in verse 6. Is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? And so can you imagine 400 people are brought out, and they're saying, yes, go into battle. And Jehoshaphat knows these are the worshipers of the golden calf. And so they said, no, these guys are not. Surely, he says, turn Ahab, do you have one guy that hears from the Lord? And there's one guy, his name is Micaiah. And he's in prison because he never prophesies good concerning the king. And he brings out Micaiah. And again, you're not going to read this in. And so when he comes out, now, first of all, you'll notice that when these things happen, that the messenger who brings Micaiah out, in other words, he's got to go grab him, brings him out, says to Micaiah, you know, all the other prophets, they already said stuff. And so when you come out, just say good things, okay? And just agree with them. And here's Micaiah's response, verse 13. He says, as the Lord lives, what my God says, that I will speak. And this guy is just trying to make peace. And he says, no, that's not the way this is going to happen. And so he comes, and in verse 14, he says, shall I refrain? Shall I go up to battle, or shall I refrain? And he says, go up and succeed, for they will be given into your hand. Now, we're not going to read this in the text, but basically, because of the advice given before, Micaiah's not lying. He says it very sarcastically. Again, you can't really get that from the text, but he says it like very like sarcastic-like. And so the king knows, and so he says to him, he says, how many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Even Ahab knows that he's just pulling his leg right there. And so it must be something in the way he said this. He's not agreeing with the messenger that brought him, so I don't want you to get that connection. And then he says, well, you're going to die. I saw all Israel scattered, and so on and so forth. And then it continues on. And then Micaiah shares what he saw. Now, this event that he sees actually did not happen, okay? And so some people take it as a narrative. It's not a narrative. It's an allegory. And it's just a picture of the situation. But God did not sit on his throne and, you know, they came to, and conspired about how they can deceive him. That's not how this works. He's just relaying basically what happened or what's happening to these prophets. And they're going to bring this deceiving spirit, you know, which happened. You know, the main priest, the main prophet here slaps him and, you know, and then he sees his end. And then we get to the battle. So they go out in battle and Ahab now, interestingly enough, Ahab believes Micaiah. And so he kind of knows what's going on. He believes, which is kind of really interesting. He believes Micaiah. And so what he does is he doesn't put on his kingly garments. He dresses like a regular soldier, thinking that he's going to trick, you know. And possibly a possible other aspect is that he thinks that the king Jehoshaphat is going to die and he's going to take over Judah. That's another side to it here. So he dresses. He's disguised himself. Jehoshaphat goes out. Now the king of Aram, Ben-Hadad, basically says, I don't want you to fight against anybody. Just get the king. And he was so humiliated by Ahab in the battle before that that's all they want. And by the way, this is also a military strategy. You know, you cut off the head, everything else, you know, goes to the ground. And so they go out and so they find, again, he's dressed normally. And so they chase after Jehoshaphat, thinking it's Ahab. They realize that it's not him. They turn away. And so Ahab thinks he's scot-free. And then, look at this. This is great. Verse 33. A certain man. Now, do you remember this phrase, a certain man? Jesus uses this all throughout the New Testament. In other words, it's anybody and everybody. A certain man, a nobody, drew his bow at random. In other words, he wasn't pointing anywhere. He just flung it in the air, and it just so happens to hit Ahab in a joint of his armor. Now, you got to understand that even though he was dressed like a normal person, he still had some pretty high caliber armor on. But it hits him. There's only a certain places within a soldier's armor where they could be hit. And it just happens to hit right at the joint of the armor. Most likely, I mean, you know, at the joint, he would not have died. But it's because the arrow was poison. And through, you know, the weather and all these things, it really had an effect. And he ends up dying. And so here's Ahab. Thinks that he can trick God. And so, but a certain man drew his bow at random, struck the king of Israel in a joint of the armor, and he basically dies. And it's amazing. Let's be really honest for a moment. How many times do we think that we can trick God? I mean, how many times do we go about our life and you know, sin is crouching at our door, and we start rationalizing, oh, God's not going to see this. You know, oh, I'm going to get away with this. Oh, you know, this is not going to come back to me. And you realize that it does. And you realize that we can't trick God. And we come to this conclusion that Ahab, I mean, I love this, a certain man at random and hits him right at the joint of the armor. Man, you can't get around it. Right? We cannot trick God. We cannot make God a fool around us. And that's precisely what happens here. So, let's close our eyes. My time is up. By the way, for one of you young preachers, that second part of the passage is a great sermon. One of you guys should work on it. And so, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I want to go all the way back to Jehoshaphat. And he said, you know, yes, this sounds reasonable. You know, intellectually, it sounds right. Yeah, we should take over Ramoth-Gilead. It belongs to us. Aramaeans should not be occupying this town, especially this town of the Levites. But he says, but let's first inquire of the Lord. Even though it seems rational, it's intellectually sound. Let's first hear from the Lord. Brothers and sisters, is there a decision looming at your feet these days? Are you relying on your human wisdom? Are you relying on your human experience? Or are you relying on God? It doesn't mean that you forsake our experience or our knowledge. What it means is that the wisdom of God supersedes that. And we go to Him first. And so I'm just going to want to pray this morning that we'd have that heart like Jehoshaphat. That we would seek Him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you as well. For the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. Well, let's pray.
More than yesterday, I need
Let's pray. Huh? Let's pray that our first instinct would be to seek the Lord. And our first instinct would be to hear from Him first and foremost. And then we could use our intellect and our wisdom and experience and all those things. Remember, His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we want His thoughts and His ways. Let's pray. Pray for ourselves. Pray that we would really go after God first. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness and especially cancer. Let's pray for their therapies. Let's pray for God's healing word over their lives. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our community battling illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community looking for work, and let's pray for God's open door and His provision. Let's go over our community prayers. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's ask God to continue to bless the city. Pray over our government. Pray for our leaders that they would rule righteously. Let's pray against the wealth gap here in this city and continue to cry out for revival. And let's pray for churches all over the city that the gospel will be preached powerfully. Let's pray for our friends ministering, Sports Services International, Shanty, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, Mother's Choice, the Korean Church. Let's pray for Hong Kong students, for domestic helpers. Let's pray for families in distress and also their children. Let's lift up our city. Let's cover our staff. Right now, let's ask for God's hand upon us as we serve the Lord with all of our heart, that we'd be filled with His anointing and His wisdom. If you could just remember Nate and Mon, who are in SP New York this week, and also Pastor Selamat, who's in Indonesia. And let's just ask that they would be used powerfully and bring them safely back to Hong Kong. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and our barista. Let's pray for our leaders and our volunteers. Let's pray that every person they come in contact with will feel the warmth and the love of God. Let's pray for our worship and sound and AV team ministry. Let's pray for our leaders, our volunteers. So let's pray that they would really bring in the presence of God. They're ushering His presence through their ministry. Let's pray for house churches tonight. First Street, Fontana Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, Lido, Opeak Road, and Soho. Let's pray for our leaders, our hosts. Let's pray the presence of God would just really meet with us in a special way tonight. Let's pray, Lord. Thank you, Lord, again for that reminder, Lord, that we need to put you first, God. We need to seek you first. Lord, we're thankful for our intellect, God. We're thankful for our experience and our wisdom, God. But, Lord, those pale in comparison, Lord, for what you have to offer. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that we would abide in Matthew 6:33, that we would seek you and your kingdom first. And so thank you, God. Lord, we love you. Watch over us today as we seek to put you first above all things, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.